This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Michael Barnes, the lead singer of Red, he joins us on the line. An absolute pleasure. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I have to say, I've been listening to your latest album today, and I'm feeling pumped right now. I've got a lot of energy.
Good. Yeah, awesome.
Would you actually say that your latest album, Until We Have Faces, is your best work yet? I know that's a big call because your other albums are pretty awesome as well.
I think so. Some of these songs in this record are one of my favorite songs. There's a couple of them, like Feed the Machine, Not Alone, are two of like probably my favorite songs right now.
Oh, very cool. Well, let's start from the beginning, the story of Red and how you formed. How did it all come about?
Three of us grew up together. Me and the two twins in the band, Brandy and Anthony.
Are they identical?
Yes, they're identical. And they're the only brothers in their family, too, so if that says anything.
Okay.
But we grew up in Northwest PA, just kind of a small town, about 1,000 people. And just always been inspired by Christian music and saw bands like DZ Talk, Audio Adrenaline, bands like that when we were growing up, went to festivals. And we were kind of festival junkies when we were growing up.
Oh, very cool.
And we got together a band and just started playing music about our senior year in high school. And then we both went off to college, and they went to Penn State, and I went to college in West Virginia. And then every summer we get together and we would do a summer concert, and we would dedicate like all the funds to a certain company. Like we did the American Cancer Society one year, and we would do that every year. And then we just decided after we graduated, it's like, let's give this thing a shot.
Oh, cool.
And moved down to Nashville together. That's when we met up with Jason Rao, and who was our first drummer. We wrote End of Silence. See, when we moved down there, it was 2002, wrote End of Silence, started writing it in 2004.
Did it come out, though, in 2006?
Yeah, it didn't come out until 2006.
Wow.
The crazy thing was it's not that it took us that long to write it. It's that we were working with our current producer, Rob Graves, and he had part of his studio was a part of the studio that we're using now. And there was only so much time that was available for us to get in there and actually use the studio because other big name bands that were paying customers,
right.
they would take over some of the weekends that we try to fit in. So,
well, you're paying customers now.
We are paying customers now. Yes, we now are on a label that backs us with the money. So
very good.
That helps for sure. But yeah, the record came out in 2006. That was the first record, End of Silence. And we really didn't start touring till 2006, the very beginning. So we kind of did everything backwards.
Okay.
We didn't have a fan base when we first started.
Was that awkward for a while?
It wasn't too awkward for us. It was actually a good thing because we just hadn't played very many shows. So it was like it was good that we didn't get in front of too many people right away. And we kind of worked and crafted on as a band and just who we are. Just so that we get tighter. Innocence and Instinct came out in 2009. We've had a few changes in the lineup, just with drummers, and now we've got our current drummer, Joe Rickard, who worked on this new record, and he's actually been here since the very beginning of this record. So it's really helped kind of drive this record. It's a little more beat-driven. I think that's why you were so pumped up.
Absolutely. I actually was listening to it in my office, and I'd say that my other fellow office dwellers are more conservative than I am, and I think they were like, whoa, what are you listening to?
I mean, that's kind of, we're in your face. Well, that's for sure. We've got some of the songs on the record that are more ballady, too, so it's like it can appeal to almost every audience.
Absolutely. Now, you were saying there before that, you used to go along to so many festivals and you looked up to bands like DC Talk and Audio Adrenaline, who I wouldn't necessarily they have a lot of energy, but they're not necessarily hard rock. What kind of drew you down that line of kind of going on the harder side of things?
When we first moved to Nashville, a band called Linkin Park was just coming to play. Their first record, A Hybrid Theory, came out. And I went to a couple of their concerts, had seen some of their live DVD stuff, and so that was kind of just something that sparked our interest. I think another band was, Story of the Year. When we went to see Linkin Park in concert, Story of the Year was actually the opener that year. And just some of the live presence that they had, they were like doing flips off the back of their their amps, they're doing guitar swings, and so that was kind of one of the ideas. We're like, we really should try and put more into our stage presence and what we do on stage, and just really give people a show than just the music. You know, the music, we think the music itself can stand by itself. Mm. It's like people aren't going to come out and watch you if you're just kind of just standing there. So it's, we really strive to be visual when we're on stage.
So what are some of the stage antics that you've then developed? Can you do backflips off amps?
I can't do backflips. I'm actually worried that if I tried to do something, I'd probably break my ankle.
Yeah.
The most I do, actually, is I do like to jump off of things, and a few photographers have gotten pictures of me where I'm like flying over Anthony's head. Or, but it's kind of a visual trick photography kind of thing where they're taking a picture from below where I'm jumping off this eager riser and it just looks like I'm flying through the air. But yeah, I mean, I'm very, I'll be like running all over the place. But, Randy and Anthony, or Anthony does guitar swings. Randy, he's got this huge bass and he'll actually do guitar swings with that too. So it's kind of crazy. But there's a few things. I mean, I can't name them all, just like what we do, but there's some stuff that is just, it comes naturally where it's just, you know, we've been doing it so much and so often that it's like kind of just who we are now.
Well, let's hope you come to Australia very soon so we get to watch you guys in action.
That would be a blast. We've got a lot of fans that have just been texting us on Facebook and they really want us to come out to Australia. And
yeah.
We haven't been there yet. I kind of want to just go everywhere in the world. But right now, we've just been focusing so much on the States. To the point where it's overkill. It's like everybody in the band is like, we need to get out of here.
All right.
We need to go adventure. So hopefully Australia will be the first place to go then.
With the promotion of this new album, is it true that recently you were on Conan and the Tonight Show?
Yes. Yeah, we were actually, it was just a couple of weeks ago we did Conan, and then last week we did Leno.
Oh, very cool. And was that fun?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was... When we first heard the news, we were freaking out.
Oh, right.
We couldn't believe it because Conan's actually one of my favorite shows.
It's yeah.
A show that when I was growing up, I just kind of got his humor. He's just very slapstick, kind of just off the wall type of humor. And he always reminded me of my brother. We're kind of Irish German in our family.
Right.
So,
well, there you go.
Kind of that, yeah.
Oh, very cool. Actually, let's talk about the name Red. Where did it come from?
The name itself, actually, was just, we were first thinking up a name that we should have, that would kind of correlate with what the music is about. Red kind of came to our mind because we were thinking of just a name that would be just really simple to remember but had a really powerful meaning. Mm. And you think of red. Red is just like, just the color itself is a very power color. If you think of love, you think of hate, passion, just all kinds of emotional things come up when you actually see the color red.
Mm, absolutely.
And, yeah, and when we think of our music, just how passionate our music gets, it can get to the point where it's just, like, so much energy, so much emotion where, you know, I'll belt out to a big scream where it's just kind of an emotional peak. And then there's the really tender moments in some of the songs where, you know, it'll only be acoustic and piano or and just strings or just, it kind of goes through this journey. And that's what Red is. It's just this very emotional, dynamic journey that we lead you on.
Who actually arranges your string elements in your songs, which are my favorite bits, I must admit?
We've got a couple freaks of nature here in Nashville that are just ridiculous. yeah. One guy's name's Bernie Hearns. He only did one song off the new record, which was Feed the Machine.
Okay.
He's done a bunch of other, like he was a big part of the first two records. And then the other guy we use, his name is David Davidson. And
David Davidson. What a name.
David Davidson, I know.
I love it.
That's a lot of first names there.
Yeah.
Very cool. But, yeah, I mean, both of those guys are just amazing. Mm. If you actually listen to the first intro track of End of Silence, it's Bernie Herms and our producer, Rob Graves, where Rob is showing him, I think it's Break Me Down, showing him that song for the very first time. And Bernie Herms sits down at the piano and he starts just playing this very classical kind of part to that song. And that's where the whole idea of, oh, maybe we could have strings involved, maybe that would bring more of kind of an epicness of the sound. And that's where it all came into play.
Is it true that your last album, Innocence and Instinct, was actually inspired by a car accident that you guys had when you were touring?
Yeah, when that happened, it was late 2007. We didn't start writing Innocence and Instinct till I think it was early that year in 2008.
Okay.
A lot of the demos started popping up. But yeah, I mean, when that accident happened, it was just kind of a nightmare that we just woke up out of. And by the end of it all, we were just really thankful of, you know, God was kind of telling us, you know, you guys need to wake up. This doesn't last forever. You know, I could take this at any time. So it's just like we really appreciated after that, you know, every day that God gives us. So it's Innocence and Instinct was kind of born, I guess, out of that, this just struggle that maybe we were facing with the past couple of years. And a lot of images and things that we found from Dante's Inferno, which is the Divine Comedy. It's actually one of the three books.
Okay.
Where there's a lot of imaging that we used from that, which is, I think it's Gustav Dory is the guy who did a lot of the images. We used some of that as well as for inspiration.
Speaking about images, the album cover does freak me out a little bit for your latest album, Until We Have Faces. That's not one of your faces, is it?
No, it's not actually one of my faces. No, we will not reveal whose face it is.
Oh, no. Okay. Mystery.
Because the person, whoever it is, he is faceless.
Wow.
So the whole idea is this: the record is about finding your true identity, like who you are through Christ. And this is the image on the record is just this kind of 3D image of this person pushing their face through, trying to find who they are. And the person, like one of the tracks is called Faceless, talking about being hollow inside, and he's faceless. And yeah, like I said, the whole record is about identity, and it's this person just trying to find their face. And we kind of use the idea of like somebody's face is who they are as a person.
Okay, I like the album cover now. you've convinced me. You've given me the meaning behind it. I'm like, all right, it's not just freaky.
No, it does have a meaning, yeah.
Oh, very cool. Just spanning, you know, your career, is there one track that you'd love to be remembered for, or that's the one that you'd go, this is us as a group, in a nutshell?
It's hard to say. A lot of people loved, off the first record, they loved Pieces. One of those songs that just kind of brought together who we are as a band. That song, that whole record was about redemption, you know, just as us, you know, as human beings, finding God in our lives and just, you know, finding redemption through all the things that we had gone through in our past. And that song, Pieces, it's really, you know, starts talking about how everything's just kind of falling apart and God's putting you back together and making you whole again. So that one song really, I think, has resonated with our audience.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people say, I love Breathing to Me, I love Let Go, you know, I love all these harder songs, but then it's like Pieces is that one song that really didn't do anything for us as far as, like, you know, didn't do anything at radio, didn't really, like, you know, didn't do much for us in that aspect. But
okay.
As far as there's a song that people just love, seems like almost anytime we ask somebody, it's, oh, I love Pieces. So, but we know on this new record, we tried to do that again. Hymn for the Missing is just one of the two that really spoke to me, and Not Alone really is another one of those songs. It's just really, you know, just things that people may have struggled with or just issues. One girl that came up to me at a concert a couple of days ago actually said that not saved her life.
Wow.
Like, really? Why? And she's like, I was going to commit suicide 2 days ago, and I listened to your song. And that just really, that hits us hard because, I went over and I hugged her and I was just like almost in tears because it's really just puts on our shoulders just a big responsibility, you know, and that we are putting our best foot forward as far as we are as Christians and because there's people out there that are lost and they're really searching. And we hope that this new record about finding your identity will really help some people out there.
Well, we don't have too much time left, but I want to end on a question which is going to turn out to be more of a statement. But your cover of Ordinary World, I have to say, is, I think, the best cover of any song I have ever heard. It is amazing.
Well, thank you. Yes, I would have to give that to Duran Duran for sure because they wrote an amazing melody. Like, the singability of that melody was just ridiculous. It didn't take very long to learn just because just how easy it was to sing it. I mean, the melodies are very soaring, beautiful melodies. And the song is it's complex in musicality-wise, so that's one of the reasons why we picked the song. Just we wanted to be pushed further as musicians as well. And that song really kind of just spoke to what Innocence and Instance is about, with the dichotomy of just, you know, good and evil fighting each other. And Ordinary World's like kind of like right in the middle of the album, where it's just talking about trying to find that ordinary world in throughout the midst of all this chaos.
Just quickly on that note about Duran Duran, do you think, have they heard it? Have they heard that song? Your version of it?
I don't know. I hope they would have. I think they would have, but you know, you never know.
It is amazing. Well, Michael Barnes from Red, thank you so much for joining us, and one day we really do hope you get to Australia.
Well, thank you, Aaron. Appreciate that.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.